The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you seeking the right transformational path to your destiny? Welcome to Dream the Life, Live the Dream with your host, Dr. Yomi Garnett. You can find growth, personal strength, and discovery no matter where you are in life right now. Truly enlightened people follow a regimented course, and you can too, starting now. Here is Dr. Yomi Garnett.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Dream the Life, Live the Dream. Today is going to be a very exciting day because we have with us a remarkable personality. Her name is Julia Boyd Griffin. She lives in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's episode is The High Cost of Anger and Vengeance. And Julia is going to be enlightening us on a deeper conscious level about anger, revenge, and vengeance. Julia Griffin is known internationally for her ability to enlighten others and become conscious co-creators through practical application of universal law. Her teachings embody advanced concepts for those who want to deepen their understanding of co-creation and personal reality. She has a deep understanding of energetics based on extensive studies. She is an alchemist, astrologer, herbalist, and Reiki master. Julia Griffin has the ability to communicate with plants and animals. She actually lived with wolves for 9 years while developing her intuitive abilities. Julia is a contributing writer for Spirit of Mart. Julia's services include counseling sessions and classes which teach students to align their focus on identifying the feelings of the soul and following their inner path. During the past 8 years, Julia, in taking people from confusion to clarity, has successfully healed and transformed the lives of thousands of clients. In her sessions, she helps people discover how to discern the inner voice of their own intuitive wisdom, empowering them by tapping into this invaluable personal resource every day. In her private sessions, Julia focuses on her clients' relevant problems from past lifetimes, childhood, or the recent past, and works to clear them quickly. And the most modalities offered by current healing techniques are bypassed as she cuts to the heart of the matter, the interest and direction of the soul. Healing takes place really quickly through the soul work and attainment of a higher frequency. Julia, how are you?
I am wonderful, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. I think you have such an interesting topic.
Thank you so much, and I am very pleased to have you as a special guest on today's episode, and I'm sure our listeners feel the same degree of excitement that I feel. What's it like in Atlanta, Georgia right now, Julia?
It is beautiful. We are in late spring, and there are flowers and gorgeous trees everywhere.
Splendid, splendid. Julia, let's go straight to business. Now, how does your view of anger or vengeance differ from the generally held viewpoint of the world at large?
Okay, I think some people feel that they are validated in feeling anger or getting revenge. But if we're looking at emotions and how they work for us, fear is the very lowest emotion, and love is the highest. Dr. David Hawken rated emotion by muscle testing and giving it numbers. And anger is a bit higher than fear. In other words, we might be afraid of something and want to do something about it, and then we get into anger. So it does actually move it up to the point of wanting to take action on an emotion. To a large degree, all the media that we see, all the magazines, it is all about feeling fear. People are easily controlled by fear. It's very hard to come together in love. But we know that love and light are the highest vibrations in the planet. So the real trick is, how do we transmute these emotions to a higher level? Now, there's another cosmic law that anything we put our attention or our focus on grows. So if we focus on feeling angry, frustrated, or afraid and not the solution, these feelings get larger. They also get larger in the outer world. When we generate a negative emotion toward another person, it gets bigger. Now, by cosmic law, any emotion that we feel, whether it's love or whether it's anger, we're going to receive three times that vibration back in return. And personally, I don't want to receive that much anger or that much vengeance in return.
Now, this is really fascinating. So, in summary, what you're saying is, if you put out an emotion like anger, cosmically, it comes back to you three times in magnitude. Is this correct?
That's correct. The universe reflects it so we can understand what we're feeling and what we're doing. This is the reason so many people have patterns in their lives, and we wonder why the same thing keeps happening. It's the universe showing us, change yourself right there. Feel a different emotion. And emotion is thought to be the key of mastery. When we master our emotions, a situation changes. Anger and fear are going to keep us enmeshed in them.
I see. Now, Julia, so what happens when we project anger, and why do we actually project anger?
Okay. In general, people feel fear and anger because it's generated. The way that things are written, the way that they make us feel, if you watch television for an hour, which I rarely do, everything is about buying or being ill or being angry. Now, those things hold us in bondage, so to speak. That's one level of it. I would call that the lowest level. On a higher level, for people who are waking up, we feel anger when we don't know what to do. We have a problem, but we don't have the solution. So I recommend finding some sort of solution and beginning to visualize it with a higher emotion, because that pulls it in. That's where your consciousness is. We also feel anger when people lean on our energy. If you have a lot of light, other people want it. Energy is the most valuable resource in the universe. Everyone wants energy in whatever form. Money, personal love, having things, feeling good, having vitality. So sometimes people lean on our energy, but it's our responsibility to have boundaries and redo the relationship. And it takes time to develop those skills. I think a lot of people feel angry about the things that are going on in the world because we feel helpless. But everyone is so much more powerful than what they know. And by feeling love or sending pink light, which is love on the cosmic level, or seeing a solution, we're actually changing it. So I think some anger, too, is about feeling powerless when we all have a great deal more power than what we know. Does that help?
Yes, it helps. It helps. That's quite splendid. That's quite a splendid way to put it. Now, but then again, Julia, when we become angry at people, do they stop taking our energy?
Yes. When we are angry, we put out such negative energy that the other person backs off, and they often return our energy. This is one of the more common things that I see in relationships, is that if someone takes too much energy, doesn't cooperate, isn't supportive, we get angry at them to get our energy back.
I see. Now, again, how does love come into this, the pink light, as you put it? Now, is this supposed to be some form of higher substitute for our inadequacies in dealing with our energy relationship with other people?
Well, it teaches us to focus on something besides the darker emotions, first of all.
I see.
We would imagine this pink light coming out from the heart space. Think about any conflict you have right now, and then project pink light into it.
And you can't
think about it anymore. It immediately ends the thought and sensation process. So that's our first step of freedom, is it's putting us in an observer state, right? And if we're thinking about Heisenberg and quantum physics, whenever an observer is added, the photons or particles of light change their behavior. So that's the first step. We've sent love to it instead of feeling we're enmeshed in it and it's hopeless, we don't know what to do, or we feel all these icky emotions. The second part of that is to find the part of us that's involved in it. Because some part of us is always involved in it. That part of us is actually coming up to heal, to have a higher viewpoint, to have a boundary, to express our truth in a different way, to make a life change. And life changes aren't always easy. So here's the other piece of the anger. We're often angry at ourselves for not knowing what to do.
I see. Now, on a personal note, I am fascinated by this concept of love and the pink light. And I'm sure our listeners will be fascinated also. Because what I understand here is when we send love, we short circuit the system of the people who are relating with us in darkness. And I know you're not speaking of personal love here, but basically radiating light. So are you saying that light as we know it on the cosmic level is what actually translates to unconditional love? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's a completely different feeling. You're not focusing on why you love the person or why you want this to work. You simply go into, in the universe, there is this unconditional love that is a higher vibration than anything I have in my life. And the one thing I do know is that if I go to a higher vibration, that things change. I don't know how they will change or when they will change or what will change in me. But you're turning it over to a greater source.
I see. Now, this greater source, presumably, is the universal intelligence that we also know as the will of God. Is this correct?
Exactly. Well, I don't necessarily call it the will, but I would say there's a law of higher order.
Yes.
It's where people experience miracles.
That's right.
It's how we transmute our lower states to a higher state.
Okay.
And it's behind all that beauty and magnificence in the world.
Okay. In that case then, to summarize this last few sentences, are we saying here, Julia, that unconditional love, as we know it, as the power of light, is perhaps the singular and the greatest force on earth?
Exactly.
Splendid. I'm clear, and I'm sure our listeners are clear. Now, Julia, what is the solution to all this?
Well, we are actually in the middle of an awakening of consciousness. Many souls are feeling it. So for every single one of us, every time we can go up from depression, fear, anger, and we're going to feel those things because that's part of the human experience. But when we learn to raise our emotions, we're actually changing the world. And people don't understand that what a difference it makes in the world when you change a few emotions. Because everyone else who's struggling with it feels your resolve, feels your action. You're actually lifting up this entire group.
I see. Well, again, are you saying, Julia, that when people with higher vibrations move into a lower vibration, such as anger, they are reinforced by the whole?
It can pull other people, right. It can be the past. It can be past memories. It can just be the human experience. We all get frustrated and feel overwhelmed sometimes.
I see. Now, can we demand from the universe for a higher vibration? And will the universe give us this?
We connect to the universe with light, with the pink light. By holding that in place of our emotions, we're actually asking the universe for a higher vibratory state. So we're using an act of will to go from a lower emotion and to ask for a higher emotion.
I see. Now, on the world level, on the level of the world itself at large, do you have any more insights to share on this train of thought?
Sure. It's like when they've done the meditation experiments, and it hasn't been that many people, maybe, you know, between 500 and 1,000 people will go to a city and meditate for 2 or 3 days, and the crime rate will drop by half. And good things start happening. And this is not very many people in relationship to all the people that are there. So when we all do our little bit of work, it makes a huge difference. The other thing I would say, if you see anything with media that's upsetting, that makes you feel like, oh, we should get even, we can't let people get away with this, or this makes me feel afraid, immediately go to the light. Say to yourself, there must be a higher solution. If I can feel the light, if I can feel love, then it must exist. If I keep staying here, other people will find it too.
I see.
So we seed those thoughts for the world.
Okay. This is really fascinating. I like this concept, or rather it fascinates me, of a group of people, for want of a better word, invading a city and going into meditation to heal that city and perhaps the world around it. Can you expatiate a little bit further on this concept?
Sure. From what I know, they simply meditated on getting into their inner space and their inner connection. They did not consciously put out that anything would happen. But half the crime stopped, and that was Washington, D.C., which has a very high crime rate. And they've done it in other cities. So when we connect with ourselves and the universe, or I should say through ourselves to the universe, everyone around us gets that vibration. So you're actually raising the level of frequency of the area around you.
I see. And this brings more light to that immediate environment. Is that not true?
Right. And so, again, if you see television, which I rarely do, I'll remind myself that it could be totally illusion. We don't know what's real and what's real with media. But we do know what a perfect, harmonious world would look like, or a peaceful world. All of us are given this vision in our heart at the time of birth. And we can hold that instead of what we're being presented with.
Okay.
So this is like a soul choice.
Okay, great. Julia, we'll be taking a short break in the next 1 minute.
Okay.
Now, listeners, we'll be taking a break from Julia. She'll be back in the next few minutes, and she'll be enlightening us even further on these concepts about mass consciousness and how it can be raised by people individually or collectively. Thank you.
We're on Facebook, along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
If this show has availed you of tremendous insight into how to live at your highest potential, you can get even more of Dr. Garnett's messages from our website, www.theglobalinstituteinc.com, where his blog, in particular, can be a catalyst for great change in your life. The Global Institute has great material for you to make the changes you need. The book, 365 Days of Wisdom, a daily companion for the soul in search of enlightenment, is available on Amazon.com. It's a 3-in-1 self-help package. Dr. Garnett's latest book is also available. It's titled The Bishop's Testament, and it's available at StonebridgePublications.com. You can also become a member of the Global Institute for Human Excellence by simply visiting our Facebook community page and liking it at www.facebook.com/The Global Institute Inc. This will allow you access to our free resource just for today and some other products lined up for the future. You will also be issued a membership certificate. Get started on your transformation today. What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Dream the Life, Live the Dream with Dr. Yomi Garnett. To reach our show today, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. If you prefer to send an email to Dr. Garnett, you may send it to yomigarnett@gmail.com. That's yomigarnett@gmail.com. Now, back to Dream the Life, Live the Dream.
Welcome back to Dream the Life, Live the Dream. We are still with Julia Boyd Griffin from Atlanta in Georgia. Let me remind you that Julia Griffin, international spiritual teacher and healer, and who focuses on her clients' relevant problems from their past lifetimes, childhood, or the recent past, and works to clear them very, very quickly. Julia, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, Julia, you fascinate me on a particular front. In our last discussion, you focused at least in two instances very surreptitiously on the word television.
Right.
Now, do I get the distinct impression that television is becoming a negatively pervasive tendency globally?
I think that it is a way that people hypnotize themselves and program themselves with negativity. I don't watch television. If you want to be less afraid, I highly recommend not seeing it. One thing that I would point out about it, if you're aware, please read the news. Do not watch it. If you think about it, we have millions of people who are sitting there watching images of violence, things that cause fear, things that cause anger. Everyone is doing it at one time. If we did this with meditation and I spoke of love, I spoke of connection, and I flipped pictures of peace and people loving each other, that vibration would go out into the world a million times over. So people are actually meditating together on negativity when they watch the news. And if you think about it, it's everywhere here in America. I mean, we can't even eat out without seeing the news. Almost every restaurant has a television that's going.
Television screen is waiting for you at every nook and cranny, right?
Right.
Wow. So what you are saying here is, Julia, is look, let's paint two scenarios. Let's see. Everybody's sitting down at a particular time watching the news and all these negative tendencies, violence and what have
you. Right.
Good. Now, on the extreme, if instead of this, people were to sit down and meditate with the interest of bringing consciousness to a higher level, that would be much, much better for humanity. Is this what you are saying?
That's what I'm saying. And if you are exposed to it, whatever you're seeing, turn it around. If you hear war, see peace. If you hear illness, see health. Turn it around whenever you're exposed to it. And there are some things that are not all bad, particularly the ones that don't have commercials. I have no objection to watching a movie that makes you feel happy or has a happy ending or, you know, makes you feel better about life. I'm not criticizing that. I am going to say, though, I think people get a good bit of programming from commercials as well.
That's right. Well, Julia, now tell me, how do we handle our personal anger? And how will this work on a global scale?
Okay. The first thing that we do, I've noticed, and I think everyone will say this, is we always think that it's a situation, a person, or sometimes we feel it's inflicted upon us, right?
Yes.
Like if this person hadn't done this or if this hadn't happened, I wouldn't feel the anger. Okay, the anger is more often about not knowing how to find the solution. It also is somewhat of a subconscious response on a personal level. As soon as you start to move into anger, mass consciousness, this lower consciousness of the world, comes in and amplifies it. So if you can recognize that, and you can recognize that a part of you is looking for a new solution that you don't know how to find yet, you're in a state of awareness. If you simply go into the anger, how many times have all of us gotten angry and said things we didn't mean to say or done things we didn't mean to do? I know that I have often.
Absolutely.
So I lose myself in that state. And I want to awaken every moment that we can come back and observe and become aware and awake. We're moving into higher consciousness. If we let fear or anger or depression or resentment take over, then we're going into a state of lower consciousness. And if we're very aware, we can say that those are the only two choices there ever are.
That is great. That is great. Now, on a global level, I suppose immediately each and every one of us becomes more aware and insists on arriving at a higher level of consciousness, then humanity on its own, on a global scale, starts approaching that level of higher consciousness.
It pulls everyone up.
That's right.
I interviewed someone once from India. He was a prince, Prince Haranda Singh. And he said, people think that the earth is polluted because of what we're doing. But he said, the pollution is a reflection of our thoughts and emotions. If every human being who's awake would work on their thoughts and emotions, we would see much of the pollution in. It's an actual reflection of our consciousness. Now, whether or not we agree with that, I think it's an easily recalled idea. And I like to have that, you know, things that we can remember easily. So when we see pollution and we're angry about it, we can say, I'm going to clean up my thoughts. I'm going to clean up my images. I'm going to clean up my emotions. And so people don't understand, or maybe they're just learning to understand, what a difference all the individuals who are listening can make. Every time you pull back from these negative states, you are clearing world karma, and you're bringing in a higher frequency for the entire globe.
That is right. Well, listeners, we've had a magnificent time with Julia Boyd Griffin. Julia, it's been a wonderful time with you. I'd like to express my profound gratitude for this brilliant session you've had with us today. But then again, Julia, how can our listeners reach out to you?
They can find my website, onetrueself.com, and that is O-N-E, onetrueself.com, and it refers to our higher consciousness that is within all of us.
I see. Julia, thank you very much for this magnificent outing, and if we chose to invite you back at some time in the future, would you do us the honor of coming back?
I would be glad to.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was an honor and a pleasure to be on your program. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much. Now, I'll say a prayer for you. May the best you have ever seen be the worst you'll ever see.
Thank you.
Thank you, and good afternoon.
Namaste.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Namaste. Right, listeners, that was Julia Boyd Griffin. Remarkable lady, one of the world's greatest spiritual teachers, tucked away there in Atlanta, Georgia. It is my sincere hope that her exposure on this program will lead to a lot of people getting in tune with her, become more familiar with her work, and actually seeking private audiences and sessions with her, because she's done so many remarkable things in people's lives. Now, let me remind you that today's episode is The High Cost of Anger and Vengeance. No emotion known to man so easily fractures a man's relationship with others than anger. Tragically, most people are inclined to believe that anger is a perfectly normal, if not reflex, reaction to perceived offense. Nothing could be further from the truth. The truth is that a predilection for easy and frequent experience of a feeling of anger is the most virulent obstacle to proper progress in life, if only for the reason that the emotion of anger can seriously and negatively impact on us in ways that are at a complete variance with our commitments, values, and goals, and holding many gifted and talented people back from the success they so richly deserve. A man is a fool who can't be angry, but a man is wise who won't be angry. And he who conquers his anger is a great man, for he has conquered a great enemy. Dynamite is a very potent explosive. So is anger. Because just like dynamite, anger must be handled with wisdom for it not to precipitate devastation and destruction. Without self-control, it is difficult to handle anger, which, if allowed to get the best of one, will only reveal the worst of one. Truly, anger is the most destructive of the negative emotions of man. Worse, anger can easily fester into bitterness, that what I call malignant cancer of the soul. Let me remind you that the teachings in this particular season of Dream the Life and Live the Dream are based on the book The Bishop's Testament, which is a novel on the spiritual basis of wisdom and wealth consciousness. Now, within the pages of this extraordinary book is a simple truth that the path to a life of genuine fulfillment can be quite as simple as reading a story. This engaging and soul-touching tale is one such story. Now, in this first-person narrative, a man, after a brilliant 15-year medical career, experiences a devastating reversal in his fortunes. Fortuitously, however, he makes the acquaintance of the bishop, a highly revered ecclesiastical personage and founder of a global Pentecostal ministry, who now adopts him as a protege for an entire year, focusing exclusively on his rehabilitation through a fascinating combination of vivid dreams, intimate personal encounters, and dramatic, hilariously mischievous capers. Gradually, the man regains his ability to believe in himself and rises above adversity. The bishop teaches him in exhaustive detail about faith, the principles of economic empowerment, goal-setting, the power of focus, perseverance, creative visualization, and discipline. This poignant story, woven between the United States, England, South Africa, and Nigeria, is delivered with an elegant hand, and the knowledge and wisdom contained in it is greatly complemented by the bishop's care, passion, and humility. Now, the extensive research that was deployed to the writing of this book is manifestly evident in the fresh and unique approach to the teaching of spiritual principles. Powerful nuggets of wisdom and immutable spiritual laws are creatively blended to produce an engaging story that both delights and illuminates. Without doubt, this book will turn out yet a wonderful resource that will not only uplift the reader, but will set him firmly on the path of a life rich with limitless possibilities, joy, and peace. Well, the knowledge and life lessons contained in this book will better prepare the reader to make wiser decisions along the path of life. Now, incidentally, a bishop who is also a leading light in the Pentecostal movement in the United States describes this book as a blueprint for enduring enlightenment and transformation in the quest for effective living. It was going to be available on Amazon Books. There is a facility for pre-ordering because it will soon be launched on the world literary market. But then, like I did say, there's the facility for pre-order. Now, having said that, and because most of what we are talking about is predicated on the teachings in this book, let's go back to anger and vengeance. Now, I repeat that tragically, most people are inclined to believe that anger is a perfectly normal, if not reflex reaction to perceived offense. Nothing could be further from the truth. I can authoritatively inform you that a predilection for easy and frequent experience of a feeling of anger is the most violent obstacle to proper progress in life. I've said this before. Now, I'm definitely not implying that there's something so grossly wrong with anger, especially when it's justified. No, we cannot necessarily come to that conclusion. It's just that the emotion of anger, like so many others, can seriously and negatively impact on us in ways that are at a complete variance with our values if we do not care to control its manifestations in our lives. A commonly asked question is this: is it not also true that a man who does not react to offense should be considered a fool by all right-thinking people? What I can tell you is this, and what indeed is true is this, and I've said this before, a man is a fool who can't be angry, but a man is wise who won't be angry. But what precisely do we mean by this? He who conquers his anger is a great man, for he's conquered a great enemy. This is validated in the book of Proverbs, in the book of life. It says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Now, truly, anger is the most destructive of the negative emotions of man because it robs a man of objectivity, especially in times when he needs to maintain level-headedness. Indeed, anger can fester into bitterness and resentment. Maybe this is why the psalmist says in the book of life, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret because it leads only to evil. In my own life, in the face of relentless provocation from others, I have formulated an affirmation which I repeat to myself often up to 200 times in a day. Friend, I should like you to adopt it. It is really quite short and simple. And it goes, calm and quiet is my soul before God. I'll take that again. Calm and quiet is my soul before God. Now, what I've discovered is, as a calming affirmation, this is one of the most remarkable and the most effective affirmations I have designed for myself in the past decade. Calm and quiet is my soul before God. Now, I've gotten into the habit of repeating this to myself at least 200 times in a day, and it has done astonishing things for me in my life, and I'd like it to do the same thing for you. A client of mine once asked me this question. Why is it that I find it so difficult to forgive and forget wrongs done to me? I even find myself bottling up pent-up fury against such people. Surely this can't be doing me any good, can it? Indeed, most of us destroy our peace of mind by being grievance collectors. Even though the feeling was justifiable, still, the nursing of grievance and grudge is simply not worth the emotional effort. You cannot develop upper-level personality if you allow yourself to collect and hold grievance. The best attitude to take toward grievance and perceived injustice is simply to forget it, skip it. This way, you will handle yourself with dignity and still enjoy the benefit of peace of mind. Whenever you are irritated or provoked, instead of flying into a rage, practice flying into a great calm instead. This practice of flying into a great calm has been perfected into a cultural art by the tribes living on the Tibetan mountains in Central Asia. Discipline yourself never to get mad or resentful. I'm not claiming that this will be an easy enterprise, but then what emotional victory is? The vital fact is that you can achieve it if you put your mind and soul into it. Remember, just like Julia Griffin taught us, anything you focus upon, anything you fixate upon, tends to expand in your consciousness. Now, by gradually committing to and achieving emotional control, you will develop a power that is not available to your detractors. And you will, this way, gradually gain the understanding, respect, and esteem of all fair-minded people. So what I ask you to do is to be still at the center of your being, knowing that real power to meet life challenges is developed in those deep centers of inner quietness where your soul and your mind meet your creator. When you know this as a profound fact, and you become committed to this practice, there will come to you a deep and profound peace that nothing can shatter. And then you will be able to handle your assignments and even your difficulties with a competence and effectiveness that will amaze even you. On a final note, permit me to leave you with a spiritual strategy that wise men and sages have used for centuries to maintain a calm equilibrium in their lives. There's a profound verse in the Bible that goes, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." Anytime you find yourself in a potentially upsetting situation, or even one in which you seem to have lost control, repeat this verse to yourself rapidly at least 50 times, and you will be amazed at the emotional power it will place at your disposal. We'll take a short break now, and when we come back, we'll talk about a very fascinating method for keeping calm all the time.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
If this show has availed you of tremendous insight into how to live at your highest potential, you can get even more of Dr. Garnett's messages from our website, www.theglobalinstituteinc.com, where his blog, in particular, can be a catalyst for great change in your life. The Global Institute has great material for you to make the changes you need. The book, 365 Days of Wisdom, a daily companion for the soul in search of enlightenment, is available on Amazon.com. It's a 3-in-1 self-help package. Dr. Garnett's latest book is also available. It's titled The Bishop's Testament, and it's available at StonebridgePublications.com. You can also become a member of the Global Institute for Human Excellence by simply visiting our Facebook community page and liking it at www.facebook.com/The Global Institute Inc. This will allow you access to our free resource just for today and some other products lined up for the future. You will also be issued a membership certificate. Get started on your transformation today.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail?
The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in to the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern for the Dr. Pat Show. With Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Listening to Dream the Life, Live the Dream with Dr. Yomi Garnett. To reach our show today, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. If you prefer to send an email to Dr. Garnett, you may send it to yomigarnett@gmail.com. That's yomigarnett@gmail.com. Now, back to Dream the Life, Live the Dream.
Welcome back. What we recognize as the usual human propensity to seek vengeance and to be vengeful towards those who hurt us is not only understandable, it can even be considered quite logical. However, you must immediately start to slant your thoughts towards forgiveness. You see, if you focus exclusively on the shortcomings of people who have to relate with you and forget that they have good points, it will be difficult, if not near impossible, to find any good and worthy person in this entire world. The preacher says it all in his book, in the Book of Life. He says, "There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins." To achieve this state of neutrality, we must rid ourselves of all judgment. We must always be quick to judge ourselves and slow to judge others. In the Book of Life, Jesus Christ was clear about this. In the Book of Luke, he said, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Today, I impart to you what may be one of the most elevating teachings of this show. Simply, by a conscious act of your will, refuse to hold a grudge against anyone. I put it to you once more that you cannot develop upper-level personality if you allow yourself to collect and hold grievance of any sort. Now, there is an amusing angle to holding grievance. While you are preoccupied with your grudge against some people, they are out dancing and making merry, blissfully and totally oblivious of your negative feelings toward them. Again, in the Book of Life, God was quite explicit and unambiguous in his admonition to the Israelites in the Book of Leviticus. He said, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So resolve from this moment to freely forgive anyone who has ever offended you in any way. I cannot stress this enough. Forgiveness is your key to the kingdom of inner peace. You will find, as in the case with most people, that it is the hardest, yet the most important thing you will ever do. The beauty of this cathartic process is that it will set you free from the past, wonderfully free up your mind for divine creativity. Allow no man to belittle your soul by making you hate him. Forgiveness is the key to the kingdom of mental and spiritual development. When you become a totally forgiven person, you are emulating the character traits of some of the greatest men and women ever to walk on this earth. And in the process, you are putting yourself on the side of the angels. The regular practice of freely forgiving everyone for everything will make you a calmer, kinder, and more compassionate human being. Forgiveness actually recognizes that what you thought your brother did to you quite simply has not occurred in the first place. Forgiveness will always be the most powerful thing you can do for your physiology and for your spirituality. Why is it so difficult for most people to practice forgiveness, you might ask? Its practice is the least attractive activity to us because our egos rule us so totally and so unequivocally. Forgiveness requires that you fill yourself with love, which you radiate outward, refusing to hang on to the hatred and venom which was caused by the behavior of other people. Put in the most sublime terms, forgiveness can only rank as the greatest spiritual act of love you could ever muster for yourself and for others. Peace of mind is that elixir that we all seek. And this is because peace of mind is the ultimate human good. Without peace of mind, we do not really possess anything. Your bank account could be brimming with millions, and yet without peace of mind, that account may not mean much and may even be as well as empty. Peace of mind is the source of great energy. This peace does not, of course, connote an escape into a dream world, but a more effective participation in a real and vibrant world. What, in practical terms, this translates to is that peace of mind is actually power of mind. A great source of peace of mind is to eliminate anger from your life. Another great source of peace of mind is to insist on forgiving every ill will that is directed towards you. A great value of peace of mind is that it increases intellectual power. Your mind is efficient when it is cool and not when it is hot. When your mind is nervously excited, it cannot rationalize properly, nor can it engage in an orderly thought process. So in asking you to maintain a mind that is always at peace with itself, I am actually asking you to maintain a tranquil mind. And by this, I mean a mind that's well-ordered. A cyclone is a gigantic stormy whirlwind and is very common in Asia and some parts of America. Believe it or not, powerful and destructive as this fearsome windstorm is, it derives its devastating power from a very calm center. And so should we, as human beings, derive our strength and resilience from a calm, tranquil center. We should always strive to make room for silence in our lives. And by this, I mean silence at the center of your being. The power of silence in developing peace of mind and with it depth of life is great indeed. This is because silence fertilizes that deep place where personality grows. Indeed, when your life has a peaceful center, you will be able to weather all storms and develop great strength. You will also develop certain special qualities. Inner strength, poise, composure, amazing insight, understanding, genuine depth of soul, and a quality of mind of enduring superiority. I'll take that again. You will develop certain special qualities, inner strength, poise, composure, amazing insight and understanding, genuine depth of soul, and a quality of mind of enduring superiority. To gain peace of mind, an important key is to learn the art of emotional self-management. When you encounter a potentially upsetting situation, simply refuse to work yourself into an emotional reaction. You can eventually develop this as a skill through constant practice. It won't be easy, but then no emotional victory was ever achieved without some effort. Insist on picturing yourself as reacting calmly under every circumstance. A very useful tool you can employ to achieve this over time is the constant practice of meditation. With this practice, you will eventually develop such a habit of mental peace that it will be difficult to shake your composure. Meditation. I've had courses talk about meditation in past episodes, but it is of such overriding importance that it is a skill I'd like to see you develop, and because of that, I will always find time out to talk about it. The origin of meditation is from Eastern religious practices. Meditation simply means the act of being quiet with yourself and shutting down the constant monologue that fills your mind. By this, I actually mean the stopping of the constant bombardment of thoughts and the seemingly endless chatter filling your mind. The techniques vary and usually involve intense concentration on a word or phrase to the exclusion of all other thought. This diverts the attention of your mind from the millions of scattered thoughts, and it is constantly brought back to present moment awareness. Now, I will let you into a great secret. No man can quite achieve his full potential and become great without setting apart times for quietness and introspection, which is what meditation is all about. Incredibly, such people are engaging in the practice of meditation, and mostly without even being consciously aware of that fact. Meditation and contemplation allow your mind to experience more and more abstract levels of the thinking process, and ultimately to transcend to that level where your mind becomes so still as to become a fertile ground for tremendous creativity. And this is the reason why the greatest men and women are great practitioners of meditation. The most potent secret on earth is the use of your subconscious mind. And meditation allows you to access this subconscious mind. So meditation is actually a practice of creative discipline. In fact, the religious teachers and spiritualists will readily tell you that during meditation, you are closer to your creator. Also, scientific studies have shown conclusively that meditation reduces heart rate, basal metabolic rate, the blood pressure. Insomnia, anxiety, and depression are also relieved and can even disappear altogether. And because during meditation, there's increased brainwave coherence, there's also improved attention span, improved creativity, improved learning ability, and improved memory. Ultimately, therefore, meditation is one of the greatest stress-relieving tools known to man. Perhaps the greatest fact known about meditation is that its effects are consistently carried over into your daily activities, and you therefore gradually become a calmer, deeper, and more insightful person. In the next episode, I'll find time out to go into the practical demonstration of meditation. So I'll ask you to keep a date with me on this next week. We have come to the end of today's episode. Thank you for keeping the faith with me and with our guest, Julia Boyd Griffin. Next week's episode is Negotiating with Life to Get the Best Out of Life. Negotiating with Life to Get the Best Out of Life. Remember, you can always call in during the show, 1-888-346-9141. And for toll-free in North America, 1-866-472-9141. And you can send emails to yomigarnett@gmail.com. That is yomigarnett@gmail.com. And it will be a tremendous pleasure to hear from you and to address your concerns at succeeding episodes. Thank you for keeping the faith, and I leave you with this wonderful prayer. May the best you have ever seen in your life be the worst you will ever see. God bless you. Namaste. Have a wonderful week ahead.
Thank you again for tuning us in this week. Please join Dr. Yomi Garnett next Thursday for another edition of Dream the Life, Live the Dream. Thursdays at 7 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Find enlightenment this week, and we'll talk again in the next one.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.